This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody chill. Here we go. Welcome, everybody. Oh, here. That's right. This is the tradition.
And we're in.
Thank you, Jason Kelly.
Is that an original composition?
Yes, I wrote that last night in the shower.
Welcome, everybody. Snark Vengers or Avengers Snark Game or whatever we're going to call it.
Snarkers Assemble.
Look, everybody, just look at the title that I finally decided on whatever you're listening to this, and that's what we decided this is. We are talking today about the biggest, monstrous, most epic finale of any movie franchise that has ever been conceived in the history of mankind.
Except for Blade Trinity.
Avengers Endgame. That's it. I am Larry Morgan, and we have an excellent assemblage of snarkers here today. Mm. Please welcome fine actor. You can see him on anything and everything everywhere.
Thank you.
And we'll let him plug at the end. JK, Jason Kelly is here.
Hey.
Woo! Another fine actor who you can also see in all the other places that you don't see Jason Kelly. A geek extraordinaire, Chris McGann, everybody.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
TV producer and raconteur and man about town, Mikey Ambers, is with us as well.
I'm giving up the raconteuring, though.
And media maven and a super geek and real live actual female girl person, Emily Doyle, is here, everybody.
Hello.
And I think this is, I mean, if you go through all the Avengers reviews we've done, this is the first bit of, well, I mean, we all are deeply in touch with our feminine side.
This is the first
true estrogen we've had in the room, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
May well be, yeah.
Emily, welcome.
Why, thank you.
I hope you're not a scared.
Oh, you guys can't intimidate me.
Okay, good.
Clearly.
We, along with most of the rest of the world, have seen Avengers Endgame. And mm-hmm. we, like the rest of most of the world, are going to talk about it, analyze it. We are going to talk about the highs and lows, the emotional roller coaster, the highlights and the, in my opinion, very few lowlights, and what it means for the MCO. Oh, don't be making that face again.
It's fine.
Okay, you're going to be nitpicky.
I'm not going to be nitpicky. I will say, I went into this movie, and I told everyone I went and saw it with that there's no way it could live up to the hype that I had built in my head for it,
right.
But also that it would have to work really hard to disappoint me.
Yes.
And it definitely fell right between those two things.
All right. Look, let's go around the room and just give quick reactions. By the way, we will do first half, yep, as usual, absolutely no spoilers. We will talk about, in general, we will talk about our reactions. We will talk about the things we loved. And then at midway point, we will take a break and we will come back and we will give you plenty of warning. And we are going to spoil the living crap out of this thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no way to talk about it without doing it.
Can't do it.
So we will give you plenty of warning, but let's start up right up top. I will give my opinion first, and I concur, McGann, because I went into this knowing there's no way they could make this the perfect resolution, right, to everything. But so in that sense, it tempered my expectations enough to where when I came out, when people have asked me since I saw, because I saw it Thursday night after I got off the air, middle of the night, with a whole bunch of geeks at 2:30 in the morning and walked out just elated, and my reaction was it was absolutely satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
will personally say mm-hmm. I don't believe it to be the best movie in the string of things, but this 3-hour behemoth satisfies so many things and just massaged all the pleasure centers of the mm-hmm. brain so many times that I could not walk out disappointed in any way.
Yeah.
We will delve into that. JK, your reaction.
Yeah, I was that black dude in the theater going, oh, ooh, ah, yes, wait, no, kick his ass. Ah. Oh, that was me.
By the way, there were a whole lot of white dudes in my theater doing that, too.
I was going to say, I was the black dude doing that, too.
I think everybody was.
But we were all black dudes.
I thoroughly, that's what it's like.
Marvel brings everyone together.
That's what it's like. If you go down to Baldwin Hills and see a movie down there, it's awesome. Because folks are interactive.
Yeah.
I think you've already said it. I think it was just an extremely scintillating, satisfying sequel to an incredible saga that I've ever seen.
Or Sagwa.
Sagwa. That's, you know, how I feel about it.
That's a fancy one.
Sagwa.
Emily, your thoughts?
Oh, man.
Yeah?
I was so happy coming out of that theater. I mean, I was right there with you. I was going, oh, yeah, no, oh, my God. Like, I was freaking out the whole movie. And honestly, I thought that it also did a lot of fan service.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was so many call-outs to everything that you wanted to see. They really listened to what the fans wanted. And in some cases, it seems like they were reading fan theory and just writing it into it. It really felt like it.
I like that the fact that it was a movie that you could react to. That, like, you really had reason to yell and scream and woo-hoo and... get a little teary.
Get a little teary.
I'm not going to lie.
McGann, you're a cold, heartless
human being. I am. So I was so satisfied. I felt complete.
Excellent.
It felt resolved. I don't even know if it was in my top 10 Marvel movies.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And if it was, it was just number 10. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't so many fantastic moments that I was out of my seat cheering for. There were times that I got misty. There were things that I could have done without. A lot of, like, beats. Which obviously I will complain about in depth at some point tonight.
Yes.
But I was satisfied with it.
Good. Excellent.
And more than anything, was just happy that I was still around to see the conclusion of this story. Like,
why are you sick?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not sick. But
are you
know,
telling us there's
something
wrong?
There's so many things that could have gone wrong between here and there. You know, like in the last 10 years, we've had any number of tragedies and events,
the fact that they kept the cast together,
right?
Yeah. That's remained intact, and frankly, and again, we'll go over this because I would like everybody to give their own ranking of like your top five. If there's any way you can do it. But the fact that they've done all these movies, and even ones that are the worst ones are pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say there's a super stinker dud in the bunch unless you're... All right, fine. I'm not counting Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton.
Thor Dark World.
Iron Man 3.
Why does everybody
Iron Man 3?
Iron Man 3.
Oh, yeah.
Ambers.
You know what? The word's been used enough already in here. It's almost overused, but satisfying is really just the right word because it hit all the notes. It left any sort of possible dangling storyline. Completed just about everything. Mm-hmm. It brought back characters and, again, fan theory ideas that just sort of put a nice button on nearly every single thing that has been brought up in this storyline. There's a few dangling plot holes that maybe I have forgotten and you guys can help me figure out, or that maybe... tender teases to what would be coming in phase 27 of the MCU.
Right. And that will be
Saga
the
two,
way we...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That will be the way we wrap up today. We will let the true nerds in the room who also have the connection to the original titles give us an idea of where things are going. Because I have my own theory. I was a little... we'll get more specific, I promise, coming up. But I was a little... disappointed with the very end of the film, and I saw other people that were, but the more I've thought about it, the more I kind of think why that was done, and I have my own reaction to it, but we'll get to that.
I went in the opposite direction. Yeah? I was very okay with it in the theater. I was like, this is a satisfying conclusion for this story arc, and then as I've taken some time away from it, I'm like, but, so many buts. So many butts.
Yeah.
So many questions.
America's butts, even.
America's
when you
butts,
think about
right?
it, right?
Yeah.
Well, There were millions and billions of butts in the seats over the weekend.
Right, yep.
This thing broke every record you could possibly think of.
Yeah. Well, when it is playing in 15 out of 17 theaters at a movie house 24 hours a day, you know, they did kind of endgame the system
but
a little bit.
You have to have people fill those. I mean, when on an opening weekend, if you're going to play a movie around the clock, then you can expect that. You have to expect that people are going to come and see that movie. Mm-hmm. And they did. $1 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh, 350. I mean, they thought, they were thinking, maybe we'll get to 300 domestically. And it was 350 over the weekend.
And that was on Saturday. They were calling it 350 for the weekend. So it could be a little bit higher. After today, we'll know.
So here's where we start. It is no secret, and this is certainly not a spoiler since this is almost a year ago. When we left our intrepid gang, half of them disappeared in a bunch of ash, and Thanos snapped his fingers, destroyed the population of half the world, and when we joined
the galaxy.
Half the galaxy, that's true. And we didn't really actually get to witness that in its entirety. This is actually an interesting chapter in that it takes place mostly on Earth, and it kind of brings it back around again to being more of an earthly story. And the opening of the film, and let's talk about that. Let's go somewhat in order plot-wise. It starts, let's start with the opening scene. Because I will tell you that I thought it was a very interesting choice to open the movie with Hawkeye and somebody who we did not see in Infinity War at all. He was referenced. And I thought that was, at first I was like, okay, they're going to start here. And the way they did it, and the way they built up to the opening credit, I found very affecting. Thoughts?
I thought they were able to do something in that moment that they had never been able to do before, make Hawkeye interesting.
Poor Hawkeye.
I'm not wrong. There's no way I'm wrong on this, but no, I thought it was a really, really good way to reintroduce his character and also make you give a damn about him for the first time.
Well, it did give him some depth as he essentially goes rogue after the incident of the disappearance of his family.
I mean, he goes Ronin.
He went Ronin.
Yeah. He totally does.
And which was actually a pretty interesting story arc for Hawkeye in the comic books was the whole Ronin phase.
Yeah. But we spend, I would say, what is it, like 2 hours in kind of very bleak situation with, you know, moments of humor, little flashes of it, but people are depressed.
Yeah, it was lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
everyone's just lost. Yeah, they don't know what
lost
to do.
And still. Yeah. And people just, they were bored. They had nothing. I can't even go there yet.
But they couldn't move on.
They couldn't move on.
Right.
Everyone was stuck. And especially the high level operators really had nothing to do.
It was like The Leftovers without all the cigarettes.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say...
And more talking.
And more talking,
I was going to say there are so many shows, it seems recently, where the premise has something to do with a massive population either kind of disappearing or you know, massive changes on a worldwide scale. And I thought the way they handled it was very affecting. And the reappearance of Scott Lang, for instance.
Yep.
And,
oh, my God.
is that a spoiler piece already to talk about the reappearance of Scott Lang?
No, because he's anything in the trailer, I think, is fair game. And they show Scott Lang showing up at Avengers on the video camera.
I gotta say, I thought it was.
And we also knew he was gonna get out.
I mean,
we knew he was coming back.
I don't know how.
I thought it was a bold move on Disney's part to make the mouse the hero of Avengers.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah,
totally.
Because if the mouse hadn't been there,
technically
it was a rat.
It
was a rat.
I get where you're going with it. If it had on a rat, it had on red shorts. I'd have been all over that way.
Or gloves.
White gloves.
It might have had gloves. We only saw it from the back.
That's true.
And said, "Hey, Scott, hold on a minute.
We'll be right there.
See you real soon." As part of the process of this kind of really downbeat period is that everybody kind of gets their moment. And we essentially, with the exception of Nebula, we kind of go back to the original core group of Avengers.
And Rocket. Mm-hmm.
And we spend a lot of time with them. We're really kind of circling back to some original emotions and things. The one of the most affecting things to me, and it clearly sets up what is to come, is Tony Stark trapped in the ship, looking incredibly gaunt, and weary. And I also think, you know, keeping in mind that Iron Man 1 was basically the first chapter of this. Mm-hmm. That has been 11 years. Yep. He has had the holy crap beat out of him.
So many times.
Tired.
He is getting older. Yep. Mm-hmm. He's promised Pepper this no more surprises.
He's sober.
Yeah. And tell me about those scenes, because again, I was really affected by those.
I think I honestly think this was Downey Jr.'s best performance as Iron Man, Tony Stark.
The opening scenes or the movie?
The entire film. Right. His work in this just reminded me of the work he used to do when he was younger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was raw, and he would tell you exactly what he thought and how he felt in an extremely clever way versus just pounding an idea away at you.
Mm-hmm.
He would subjugate it and offer it to you in a he'd undercut it and give it to you in a way where you weren't expecting it to come from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts even more when mm-hmm. he says it.
Yeah.
There were moments in there that I was like, man, this man is being so honest. He's pouring it all out. And I feel like as an actor, he carried the entire thing. And it was his best performance across the board of all the films that he's been in.
Yeah, because we know that he has the capacity to be a brilliant actor.
And
the character he created for this has always been, you know, fun and effective and pretty well drawn. But it was until we started to get into that conflict with Cap, he didn't really have much depth other than I'm a rich guy you know, and even then he was always kind of the acerbic, you know,
yeah,
sharp
I'm sure
wit.
I'm super smart. I'll whiplash you with my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the great thing was it was still there, but
he was broken.
There was much more depth and resonance.
Well, and you can tell that Downey really just had a passion for this role mm-hmm. too, and it's grown over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And with the culmination of this, I think that, you know, you could really feel the passion behind it, too. Yeah.
Well, it says something to the whole production from Iron Man 1 that all these people actually still seem to enjoy the work they were doing, that they were being given something mm-hmm. that challenged
they all
them.
Love it.
I mean, again, and also, while we're at it, why not give the Russo brothers some pretty major kudos for considering where they came from and to go Civil Wars, Infinity Wars, and Endgame. The juggling act that takes and the number of characters to try and do good service to, mm-hmm. and just take those three movies alone that they had the biggest hand in,
mm-hmm.
That's an extraordinary feat, what they did, if you look at those 7.5 hours
and
whatever.
And he's one of which one was it that was in the counseling scene, which was at Adam or Joe?
I think it was Joe.
Joe?
Yeah.
Joe. Fine actor.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
That was nice.
I was actually pleased. Yeah. I was like, he's kind of good.
All right. So where do we go from there, plot line? Somebody help me.
Well, can I counterpoint real quick?
It was around this time where I yawned for the first time and I started to slap myself.
I got a counterpoint slightly
mm-hmm.
for the ship, for the scene on the ship. Was a total waste of 10 minutes for me. I loved RDJ's performance from when he got back to Earth. But I didn't need any of that time with just him and Nebula on the ship for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the sort of blanket, blind deus ex machina that was just Captain Marvel showing back up to rescue him without any real rhyme or reason to how she got there, how they got there. And it was just like, well, we need you back on Earth now. Let's go. So
wasn't his helmet broadcasting?
No. I mean, not to Earth, because we established when he left in Infinity Wars that he couldn't.
He had no contact with Earth anymore.
A recording for Pepper for if somebody found the spaceship she knew what happened to him.
Okay, I thought it was broadcasting.
I mean, I'm hoping, like, the cheat answer to that is Rocket was tracking the ship because it was his ship and he would have a way to trace it, but that's never addressed, it's never talked about. The piece with Iron Man in the ship felt so weirdly unearned to me, especially in like the wake of the way that his tragedy shaped the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my counterpoint.
All right.
I could have used that 10 minutes to explain Super Space Force. I could have used that 10 minutes to to deal with some more end credit stuff. I could have Super Space Force is what I called the Avengers group when Black Widow was sitting at the table. We'll get to it.
Is it possible that scene was? It did serve the dual purpose of giving, you know, Tony Stark a little more something, some emotional stuff.
Yeah,
but also
it's essentially
building up nebulous humanity for what was to come.
Probably, but I don't know that it added anything we haven't already seen from Nebula. You know, like we've seen her start to journey. I did make myself go back and rewatch all 20 whatever-ish movies before this. And so, I mean, you can see Nebula's journey in humanity even from Guardians 1 to Guardians 2 when she has her reconciliation with Gamora.
True.
And, you know, her decision to stand with everybody on Titan and fight against Thanos in Infinity War. I don't know that this necessarily added anything that wasn't already there.
Fair enough.
Okay.
For me, at least. All right. Sorry.
Well, no. I mean, one thing I did think about, because it did seem unusual that they made such a point of having kind of the original core group of Avengers, and then you had just kind of a couple of fringe players like Rocket and Nebula, but it was important that Nebula was there because she's played such a big part in the rebroadcast of across parallel timelines broadcast for Thanos later, so she had to kind of be a witness to some of this stuff.
Totally.
As a plot point.
Totally.
Anyway, where do we go next in the plot?
Because Captain Marvel brings him back to Earth.
All right. Our appearance of Captain Marvel.
Yep.
We knew it was coming.
Which, by the way, over the long term, Captain Marvel had a pivotal but very small role.
Very tiny role.
You know what? Fine with it.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Totally fine with it.
Same
I mean, we will at some point, of course, have to talk about the wig. But
well, let's go ahead.
Her, I'd like to speak to the manager wig.
She
arrived fully formed as a woman named Karen with three kids asking to speak to the manager.
No, it was terrible.
Oh my God.
It was terrible. I know that it was a throwback to more of the actual comic book. But they could have styled that so much differently.
It was as bad as Thor's first haircut.
Yes. And the bright orange eyebrows.
And the bright orange eyebrows.
Yeah, don't forget the bright orange eyebrows.
Yeah, it was striking. And they do comment on it. Not that they necessarily kind of, I mean, they make a joke about the hairdo.
They do tend to joke about a lot of things.
Yeah. And there are a number of new appearances in this thing that are very surprising.
Yep.
I think we get distracted so much later by Thor's appearance. And,
I'm going as Halloween.
Is that yet?
On Tuesday,
as this Thor. Yeah. As this Thor.
As this Thor.
As
beer.
Yeah. No.
Are you are you going to go full De Niro and just start pounding the milkshakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beer Thor.
Lebowski Thor.
Help get us through the plot, everybody.
All right, so we're back to Earth. And
talking about plots and plans about where Thanos is at. They figured that out.
Real quick.
Yeah, that was super fast.
I looked at my watch for the first time. I was like, this is the fastest 3 hours of my life.
I'm like, wait a minute. They found Thor already. What are they going to do with the remaining 2.5 hours?
Yeah. But the entire time I was saying, okay, this is too easy.
Right.
This it's way too easy. Easy.
So of course.
Okay, so this is clearly not the storyline. So what is this going to how are they going to resolve this? What is this going to be?
So by making it needlessly complicated.
What do we like about finding Thor?
Finding
Thanos?
Let's find Thor first.
Well, wait a minute. No, that comes after. First.
Well, I know, but they... Yeah, but okay. Go ahead.
If we're getting through the plot, we got to find Thanos first.
Yeah, but we got to find Thanos first and do that thing.
But we can't do a 3 hour and 2 minute podcast.
No, you're right. You're right. Wait, why not? That's how much time I booked tonight.
Wait, you don't want to be here till midnight? Yeah. What?
Is Finding Thanos going to be like a new Disney Pixar animated movie?
Oh, my God.
Finding Thanos.
Instead of Finding Nemo.
Finding Thanos. How many times can we find Thanos, guys?
I'm telling you, that could be a trilogy in and of itself.
All right, where are we in the plot? Let's jam through it.
So we find him. We found Thanos. We deal with him. We come back. Now we have a time jump. We're all depressed.
Yes. Fast forward.
5 years.
5 years later.
You have to say it as slow as they did in the Chirons.
Five years.
Later.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Black Widow also has a new hairdo.
That's right.
There's a little streak of something going
out. It was growing out.
It's growing out.
Growing
so, like, out. Basically, she hasn't seen a hairdresser in 5 years.
Right. But she still had time to do her nails, which I thought was important.
That was
because Thanos wiped out half the people.
Right.
The hairstylist is gone.
The hairstylist is gone. Gone for a mani pedi.
It's very hard to get an appointment with Sophie.
No, I get it.
And then what?
And then we're back on Earth doing literally nothing.
Yeah.
Enter the rat.
We meet the Space Avengers, and then the Rat shows up.
Yes, that's right.
Shows up, and everything
Scott
changes.
Lang suddenly appears. He, of course, he has
Mickey
his
Rat.
Moment.
Mickey Rat.
And Scott discovers, in his mind, just a few minutes later.
Five hours.
Okay. All right.
Plotting.
Thanks for fact checking.
She's on it. That all this has happened, right. And he is bummed, mm-hmm. but bounces back really quickly.
Real quick.
Well, you know, he found his daughter.
Yeah. Exactly. That's true.
That was nice.
She's still alive. That was a nice touch.
Both his ex-wife and her new husband are also alive. We never saw them, but I'm assuming they're alive.
No, they were gone.
Oh, were they gone?
Yeah,
they
you saw them dusted at the end of Infinity War.
Oh, did we? Uh-huh. So wait, who's his daughter living with? I have so many additional questions.
She's living with the aunt. Antony.
She's made it work.
I don't know. She had a lot of
oodles and noodles, Pop-Tarts, and she just rolled with it.
It's a classic Home Alone movie.
For five years.
More
living with the aunt, I think. That's the sitcom I want to see. It's like a new Mr. Belvedere.
Because remember the end credit scene after Ant-Man and the Wasp, the aunt sitting there playing the drums. Because you see the dust floating off the couch where the parents were sitting.
Is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was all the dust.
Wow. Emily pays attention. Yeah. This is why she's here.
Yeah.
They got
God.
All right. So Scott gets back.
Yep.
He talks about where he's been how he survived because he wasn't there that long.
Right.
I was really hoping for need to pee joke somewhere in there that seemed like that would have been appropriate. But
We got it later. We got it later.
Yeah, we did get it later. Yeah. After baby and old man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We did get it. It wasn't the same though.
It wasn't. You're right.
I think stuck in the quantum realm needing a restroom would have been hilarious, but that's just me.
It would have been hilarious, but also, do you need to use the restroom in the quantum realm? Because mom was there for Michelle Pfeiffer was there for like 10 years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and she managed to survive.
I assume she deuced once or twice.
Yeah,
because she aged.
Yeah,
so I imagine she had to have gone to the bathroom at least.
The waste track works differently in the quantum realm.
There was probably a Starbucks there.
So this is how quantum alimentary canals work, people.
There's a delay. It's a long delay.
So eventually they do all sorts of scientific rigmarole. We have our...
Super smart Hulk.
We got to go find...
Daddy Hulk.
Professor Hulk.
Hybrid Hulk, whatever you want to call it.
Professor Hulk
is really what he is.
But, frankly, I like this Hulk much better than the personality disorder Hulk we had in Infinity War of slapping himself around trying to bring himself out again. Didn't dig that very much.
That was so...
I was hoping for Joe Fixit, I'm not going to lie.
There was a sister sitting behind us at the theater, and she went, I'd like to rage that.
Yeah,
Seriously.
All I heard from all my female nerd friends was how thick Thor was.
Yeah, they were
thick. He's
sweating.
He's a thick daddy.
Oh my God.
They were digging.
No, he's a bear now.
Yeah.
He's a bear.
Thor got that dad bod.
He was so funny.
Yeah.
As the merging of the two, it was great.
Oh my God.
Well, I mean, to get a Lebowski joke in an Avengers movie is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Which, when you think about it, is kind of a nice little Easter egg, because the first baddie in the very first Iron Man movie was played by Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, indeed.
Yes. Yeah, very nice.
So
there were so many of those, like
We all have all sorts of science-y speculation about time travel.
Yep.
We seek out Tony Stark, who's living in a log cabin somewhere.
Yes. Like you do when you're a futurist.
He's probably in Rochester or
Albany. I bet he got a great deal on it.
Somewhere in upstate New York. Maybe
you were able to identify it.
Probably more like Cooperstown.
Cooperstown?
Yeah. It's kind of Cooperstown.
Or the Hamptons, maybe?
Yeah, Hamptons.
I mean, look,
Hamptons would make sense.
Yeah. They
but it's a little more isolated than the Hamptons, so I would say more upstate.
He's in a cabin near a lake.
But they drove from the Avengers compound, so it can't have been too far.
Yeah, it couldn't have been too far.
Oh, good people.
So they were probably Westchester?
No, that's way too far south.
Way too far south?
Way too far south.
All of this is getting cut out.
Spoil.
Oh, come on.
I think he had Chip and Joanna come in and design a log cabin for them.
Only one of the two of them lived, though.
All the shabby chic.
Oh,
she got snapped.
Anyway, they're trying to talk to Stark about this time travel concept,
and
which he immediately rejects. He wants to leave him alone, but of course he thinks about it, and then he's thinking more about it, and then he's doing his little...
Then he finds that picture of Peter.
And his dad.
And he's like,
and
damn it!
Right. Yeah.
And then he figures out time travel in 12.4
seconds.
Because he's Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You figure he would have probably gone to task on this maybe 20 years
probably
ago.
Probably already.
Like
he was probably thinking about it on the ship.
It's probably been percolating in his brain for years.
Yeah.
He already had like a basic concept.
Yeah. But I mean, even I think even the movie called out there was only like his 14th test. like trial simulation. Mm-hmm. It was like absurdly quick, even for Tony Stark being a genius. It took him more time to figure out how to make a repulsor work in the first movie than it did for him to solve effing time travel.
It's compounding intelligence. Yeah. Once he figured out one thing, it just started to compound.
It's like a ball rolling downhill. Yeah.
It feels like it was an accident. It was really even he was surprised.
Yeah. He was like, oops, I tripped and fell over time travel, guys.
Yeah. Oh, been there.
Yep.
So he cracks the case, mm-hmm. and we get to figure that out. And then we go into one of the most delightful sequences of the movie, I think, and that is revisiting when we finally get there.
Oh, my God.
Emily, you have thoughts. Revisiting so many of our earlier adventures.
Yeah.
Oh, bring it. Look at you. You're jumping out of your seat.
Oh, my God. No, I just love it. This whole sequence is, like, my favorite part of the movie because you get to see, like, it's like what's going on in the background when you've been watching the main show and you get to – it's like sitting in a concert where you can see backstage and the front of stage at the same time.
Right.
It makes me so – I always sit in that spot, by the way, because I just can't help it. But, like, seeing you know, what happens after they catch Loki and, you know, and seeing that scene and having all of these people come back to be in the movie, I mean – it's incredible. Like, everybody they got back except Natalie Portman because she didn't want to do it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
No,
they
didn't. That was archive footage.
Oh. Yeah,
yeah, I looked it up because I was like, did they actually get her? No.
By the way, nice shout out because it is so Back to the Future to give Back to the Future credit for literally.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Instigating the whole time travel process. Right.
Even though their version of that, how time works was not it.
Nope, not exactly.
Apparently, shut that that's down, not how time works.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's very smart.
All right, so we're going to take a break here because we're essentially halfway through the movie, and I think we're halfway through the podcast. So we're going to take a break, we're going to come back, and we're going to start spoilering because there's no way to talk about the rest of the movie without doing that.
Nope, not yet.
All right, right back, Avengers Endgame. We're going to take a break. Everybody take a deep breath.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spoilers! 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 Spoilers ahead!
Hey, everybody. Just a warning. We are about to enter a section of the Avengers Endgame review that is filled with spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, go ahead and pause now unless you want many of the major plot lines ruined for you. And then come back and listen to the rest of it. Otherwise, if you don't care and you want to keep listening, we have a whole lot of fun. But just one more time, a reminder.
Spoilers! 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 Spoilers ahead!
All right, back to the thing. That was a mistake. And we're back.
And we're back.
Now, could it have been the Finger Lakes? I mean, could it have been that far upstate? Or was it? Never mind.
Could
it definitely
Lake
could
Huron.
Have been.
Where are we in Avengers Endgame at this point? We have started to revisit some of the earlier adventures that we're seeing.
Yes.
And on a couple of occasions, we are bumping into people that we shouldn't be bumping into.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yes, and we're causing things to happen that shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen. Yeah.
But you're welcome, Disney Plus streaming service, because now Loki gets his own show.
Right? Oh, my God. What is up with that? Yeah. And what is up with Scarlet Witch and Vision?
In the 1950s? I don't know.
WTF, Disney. Just WTF. Seriously.
Not quite sure how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
That so now that Tony's figured out time travel, anything is
anybody
possible,
this is true.
Right?
Anybody can just do it.
This is true, but then they have to go back and time travel back to get Vision from when he was actually alive.
Right.
Because he didn't come back.
Right.
No.
Which, P.S., what a crummy decision to get the Mind Stone from... We're spoiling that, right?
What a crummy decision to send
Scarlet Witch to die, not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow to die, instead of being like, hey, let's go save Vision and the Mind Stone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And bring him back
right.
and use him in the fight.
Right,
Of all the things to consolidate for time in 3 hours and 2 minutes, you maybe could have tried to do that, but
Because I feel like that, of all the characters, Vision to me is the most wasted
character of all in the lore. I mean, he was he's such a great hero, and we used him for all of one movie, and then he was done, and now we don't. I mean, we're gonna have to wait. We're gonna have to pay what $7.99
Well, yeah, another $7.99 So just start keep racking and, him up because we'll be back up to paying the cable bill.
Full cable bill. Yeah.
Well, it was also such a build-up because basically he was created as a result of an entire film, Age of Ultron. And then. Yeah,
and we never really got to see him fully unleash his power.
No, yeah, not really.
No, we never really did. Like they killed him off before he could ever actually accomplish anything.
I mean, the closest thing we got to like something real was Civil War, but he was still pulling his punches because he was fighting his friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. So, he still didn't want.
It was frustrating.
All right, let's knock out how we were able to go back and recollect the Infinity Stones. Go through it.
2012,
right?
We did the Tesseract.
Thankfully, that everyone in the galaxy talks in Earth years, so even Thanos knew what 2012 was.
So we have the Time Stone. We have the Space Stone.
And the Mind Stone.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we have Tony Stark seeing his dad having a little moment.
Once we lose the Mind Stone.
Once we lose the Mind Stone.
We have what I think is maybe one of my most disappointing wasted moment jokes. When Cap sees himself, new Cap says, oh, shit. And old Captain America doesn't say language.
I was so heartbroken.
It was such a good moment to have called back what I think is one of the funniest pieces of Age of Ultron.
But I gotta be honest with you. The America's ass joke kind of made up for that.
It was great. That's true.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was really solid.
Yep.
So. Oh my god.
And then we have our first big major sacrifice of the film, which we have referenced. Yeah. And so let's dig into that a little bit. I mean, I don't know that I saw that coming at all. To me, of what few things I allowed the internet to plan in my brain, the sacrifice of Black Widow was not one of them.
I agree.
No. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Especially since she's got her solo movie coming out. It was so far. And I know it's a prequel, but it seems so...
Right.
But still, it seems like a throwaway. It was kind of frustrating. Yep. I mean, I got it. I got it because she didn't want Clint's family to come back and go through what he went through.
Right.
So I get why she made the sacrifice. I do, but I'm so disappointed by it at the same time.
It's funny because I remember being the least affected by that moment of anything else that happened in the movie.
Yeah.
And I understood, I thought that battle between those two was interesting, but I really thought in my mind, Clint maybe deserved because he had turned it in such a bad way.
I agree.
Kind of a Breaking Bad.
But that's what we saw of him. They were both that bad.
That's true. They both were. I mean, because she was just as bad, probably worse.
And that has been her thing through the whole the whole arc of all of her movies is that she's got red in her ledger and she needs a chance to make it up to Clint.
We know that intellectually, or maybe we know that because of the lore of canon, but we haven't really witnessed that in these movies.
And there hasn't been a whole lot of emotional engagement between the two of them. So I felt like that scene fell flat because whether it was the actors didn't have the chemistry or that they just hadn't written in enough of a connection between the two of them. They hadn't really proved it.
Yeah, like, no, there was always some vague reference to whatever happened in Budapest.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll find that out in the prequel show.
It almost would have been better if it had been the Hulk and her.
I agree. So much so that I would have been so engaged in.
We did have the discussion in here that when Gamora died, we were all kind of like, are we supposed to be more moved than we are right now? Because we hadn't felt like that they had established that story. Was that you, Jason, that had said that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we should have been a little more emotionally invested in that to be really affected by that one. So it's interesting that the kind of the same setting kind of had the same result.
Also with Infinity War, we knew, most y'all are coming back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At some point, most y'all are going to come back, especially her, because I'm like, you got
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 already teed up.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're coming back, sweetheart. Right. Which, so it didn't hurt as bad.
Fired up for Thor being in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Very excited.
Just about that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So fired up for that. Can't wait.
I can't wait for that. And I hope he's still Lebowski Thor.
I
can just say that.
I think Chris Hemsworth hopes that, too. He's
tired of working out. He's tired of again, you guys. I've had a car for 10 years.
Maybe, you know, work on the bodysuit just a little.
Just a little. I mean, it was a little rough. But
I mean, not as bad as Captain Marvel's hair, but it was
nothing is as bad as Captain Marvel's hair. Someone should burn that wig.
Hemsworth has full reign to start eating pancakes now, though, with extra syrup.
Yeah. But jumping back to the Gamora Black Widow thing, right? I think they made the same mistake both times. Mm-hmm. They took this character that we have had no real chance to have like an emotional journey with, right? If it had been Cap, if it had been Tony, if it like even Hawkeye in this movie, we saw his pain and loss, losing his family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For him to make that sacrifice, we're like, oh God, like Clint, like we just saw your pain, and we
would have been more emotionally invested in that.
Yeah. I mean,
they gave her as much as they could with like when she was the de facto leader, absent everybody else.
Right.
And
right.
So, she, you know, she was on the verge of tears for a lot of, especially that first meeting back with Cap and Avengers in the headquarters. But
it feels
again,
like this
it
was
felt unearned.
Yeah,
right. Well, it did. Unearned.
It might have just been in the overall structure of the thing and similar to Infinity Wars. It was a death appetizer. It was just like,
here's a little starter death, guys.
Trust me, we're going to get back to hilarity in a few minutes, but here's
and
one
so
thing.
So much murder.
Oh, my God.
So, geez, what happens next? All right, so we get the stones back, and what do we do with them?
Oh, wait a minute, but we're not going to talk about Thor and Rocket at all, because that was kind of cool.
Remind
Which
me.
One?
What do
Which
we do?
Part?
When they went back to...
Asgard?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They went to Asgard.
That was a lot of fun.
That was right so that. Much fun, you guys.
And seeing Rene Russo back was nice. When they went back
I would watch a Rocket and Thor road movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
On the road, especially when he's like all...
Road trip.
Because Thor is just so broken by everything that's happened, and he can't emotionally process anything around him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, where's the beer? Where's the wine? There's a wine cellar, you guys. I'm going down there. Yeah. I'm not doing this.
Great.
And then he runs into his mom, and his mom's like, get your shit together.
That was actually a great scene.
It's a great scene.
I have tended not to be. I love Thor Ragnarok, but I'm not a big fan. I think I've said that in here as well. Mm-hmm. I kind of don't care about Asgard, and I've never been It really just doesn't really anything in space.
Sure.
Tends to not be the thing that I care about.
Even
most.
Guardians in the Galaxy.
I mean that was fine. That was great. But the Asgard stuff.
I'm
just
sorry. I didn't know what this machine did. I'm so sorry.
Just so you know, the delightful and delicate Emily Doyle just gave me the finger across there.
I think they had to. They use Asgard to build up the lore about Thor.
Yeah,
even more because he became such a successful character.
Yeah. His universe has never interested me, even going back to the books. He was a character that I didn't really care about, and that mythology was all that stuff.
I don't know. What about when he became Thunderstrike in the 80s/early 90s with his leather vest and ponytail?
Yeah, they might
do that. Come on, man.
You're not helping his case.
It was the 90s.
Hemsworth in the movie and everything changed.
Yeah. So we got to get to the battle soon, guys. We got to get to it because I'm dying.
Fine. I mean,
what?
Okay.
No, I'm just
sure. It was good.
Because we didn't talk.
And he got his hammer back.
He got his hammer back there, too.
Which is important to the battle, so that's good.
Absolutely.
Because that plays into the whole end of the movie.
Right. Which, to me, always, but then also it affects
one of the very
old
few times
timeline.
In major motion pictures where a tool was it was exciting to
oh,
see.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey,
oh yeah.
Look, he got his hammer back.
I loved it, and he's like, I'm still worthy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it was great.
But for me, I mean, him getting his hammer back, it kind of had that same emotional impact for me from when going back to I think it was the end of it must have whatever was the prelude to the first Captain America movie where they on Earth Agent Coulson digs up the Mjolnir. The first time we see it
a stroke, Mike? Are you okay?
It smells like toast. All I'm saying is it smells like toast. The first time we saw it and like my inner 8-year-old geek is like, oh shit, they're actually doing it.
Yeah. That's yeah. Iron Man 2,
was
I think.
Two? It was
yeah.
2.
Yeah, it was Iron Man 2, yeah.
So
yeah.
then we get back to Earth.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Back to Earth. And most of us get back to Earth.
Right.
Oh, and don't forget that there's the switcheroo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, yeah. I was so mad
and
when that happened.
And Tony got to hug his dad.
Oh, the Nebula switcheroo?
Yeah, the Nebula switcheroo.
Yeah. Because
evil Nebula from 2012 knocked out good Nebula and stole her faceplate to dress up as her and go back.
Yes.
Which...
that's the complication portion of the script right there.
Let's make it more complicated, guys.
Well, no, for me, the most complicated part was they're like, oh, no, we lost the Tesseract. Let's go back in time again and risk getting more Pym particles when they could have just flown to San Francisco and also gotten Pym particles because... Hank Pym just had them, and they could have had all. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah, they could have.
There were a whole bunch of extras, right? Yeah.
But they had to go someplace where they had both particles and the Tesseract at the same time, right?
Because
Tesseract wasn't in San Francisco.
Right.
But they could have gone and gotten Pym particles,
and then gone and got a number of places. Yeah, to get. Yeah,
true. Then it would have been a four-hour movie.
That's true. But Tony wouldn't have gotten to hug his dad, and that's clearly important. And that was we wouldn't have gotten
the Jarvis cameo,
which is actually kind of sweet. I like that. Yeah. That was a nice.
Event Nicole Brown wouldn't have been in the movie.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right. We wouldn't have seen the original Ant-Man helmet.
So then we're back on the platform.
We are jumping now to the battle. Let's get to the battle. We have to get to the battle.
Why? It was only like 10 minutes.
Oh, come on! But don't we have to make the gauntlet first?
It was great.
Yes. Okay. Let's make the gauntlet. No, if we don't. At some point, we have to give our opinion.
So the gauntlet gets made.
We're talking to people who've seen the movie.
With the battle's great.
Using Iron Man tech.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. and then Hulk, they decide Hulk has to be the one to do it because he was so strong.
Hulk strong.
And it was gamma-based.
Gamma-based radiation.
And he's been through
so
that
he
before.
Survive it. Yep.
Right.
So he does the snap and brings everybody back.
Right.
Yep.
And then...
How did that feel? Come on.
That was satisfying.
Yeah.
There was enough time between the snap itself didn't feel satisfying until everybody walked through those portals.
Yeah.
That was the part where I was like, yes, here we go.
You know what I also found satisfying, though, was Clint's wife calling him on the phone in that moment of frozen, like, oh, my God, it actually did work. Like, it's not just birds outside flying around. It's
families are back.
Families are back.
It was a nice, very human moment before all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because literally, it was that Hawkeye moment right before they got blown the fuck up.
Yeah,
but I will say, but that scene where Hawkeye is underground and he's running away and all that, it felt so. Alien.
Yeah.
Or Aliens. Yeah. And maybe that was the inspiration. I don't know, but I felt like I was watching Aliens.
Yeah, it was great.
And it was really tense.
That was very tense.
No, that was good.
Again, they made Hawkeye interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything post Thanos blowing up the compound was like
epic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Everything but like one real specific moment in the fight was.
There's always a but.
was so fantastic and so like. Tension filled and taut and like edge of the seat. There was a girl two seats down from me who was literally knees to the seat in front of her, like leaning forward.
Oh my god, that was great.
I almost stopped watching the movie to watch her because she was so intently loving this.
And the battle was in two parts.
Well, the balance. Yes. Yeah, I mean the balance.
And that was
It was also great that they broke it up.
They
like
broke
that.
The battle up in two parts, and oh my god!
I mean the balance of how long it took us to get there, and that long slow burn to kind of get up to this point. Pays off so perfect. Well, I mean, if it hadn't
then that
first 2 hours would have been like, why did we spend all that time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what we get into here in these two sections is some of the most remarkable action scenes of any kind I have ever seen.
Oh, I can't wait till next week when they attack King's Landing.
It's not going to be next week. It's going to be two weeks. Next week's going to be
a lot of politics.
Still talking Avengers, Mike. Yeah. Still talking Avengers.
I'm one of the five people on the planet that doesn't watch that, you guys.
You don't?
Yeah. So she has no idea.
Okay.
Daenerys. You're not missing much. Yeah.
So we
let me tell you what's happening so far.
Dragons and zombies.
Don't have time. So we get all our guys back.
Get all our guys back.
Oh, but hold on.
Tell us about the battle.
Oh, my God. But wait a minute. Hold on. So remember.
Emily.
Oh, okay.
That's all right. You keep taking us back in time.
No, I'm not taking it back in time. I actually jumped ahead because I got really excited
about
everybody being back. So, like, they're fighting and they're battling and everybody's getting knocked down and beat up. And, like, Cap's shield gets knocked in half and, like, everybody's down. And all of a sudden, they're like, do you hear me? Yeah. Cap, come in. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cap, come in.
Oh, on your left.
And he's like,
on
what?
Your, on your six.
On your left. On your left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That moment was just like goosebumps.
That was when there were.
That was when
once Thanos started blowing stuff up, there was just moment after moment of people hand clapping, people going, oh.
And everyone was yelling. Yeah. Oh,
when he whooped Thor's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and
man,
then
down.
And then Mjolnir started floating, and I was like,
and
oh, Thor's pulling it in. And then when it flies by him and then back.
Oh, girl. That moment.
Man,
and
when Cap, it was the same kind of feeling when Cap shows up in at the beginning of Infinity Wars to protect
Vision.
Yes.
It was
the
same kind of feeling.
So give me a second here. Tell me, comic book nerds, why Cap deserves the hammer to come to him.
I mean,
because honestly, I sat there going, now I look, I know.
No, this goes all the way back to
Age of Ultron.
I know, but in Age of Ultron, he moved it a smidge, and we get that little look from Thor.
But did he, or did he actually stop from picking it up?
I don't know him, Olivia, because they didn't do that in the movie.
I'm
but
convinced.
In the books, I mean, Cap has wielded the hammer before.
That's, what I'm asking, because I know that, but I want...
Because Cap's the best of them.
But as I was sitting there, I couldn't connect because there was so much going on. I couldn't connect to why he deserves to have the hammer in that moment. And that's all I'm saying, just as somebody who's a little bit outside of the books I had a chance to think about it.
It was that moment when he said to the help group, the Earth is in our hands, guys, we've got to do something with it. Otherwise, Thanos should have killed all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
That level of understanding raise his level of purity in my mind.
And his shield was broke at that point or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
so
it was
I think that's part of it.
No,
right?
No, no, it hasn't. It hadn't been.
Oh,
it
hadn't broken yet. No.
Dinged it and kicked his behind with that too.
But because I'm trying to remember, because there's the part where Cap just got the shit kicked out of him and he got back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for an I can do this all day.
That's what I was waiting for too.
And that was, I think, before the hammer came to him. But I think it was that piece of resolve that really said, like, I'm laying down my life here. I'm protecting everybody here.
No, that was after.
Oh, was it?
Was
he
after,
gets the hammer
right.
to save Thor.
Right.
And then he started using the hammer and the shield as mollywhopping
his
head.
My favorite moment there was Thor going, I knew it!
Yeah.
It was great.
Which is what threw me all the way back to Age of Ultron, saying he knew he could pick it up this whole time.
Probably.
He chose not to.
Probably.
Obviously, it wasn't the right moment either. They were in a party, they were showing off, and it wasn't. And that's part of why he's worthy too, is because he can pick his moment like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, you know. He grew up in the 40s, and somehow isn't racist. Like, that in itself speaks to the fact that
it's amazing.
Like,
and
he didn't
and
have
his best friend's a black guy.
Yeah, God, no, it's weird. It's a weird. That's how great Captain America
it's
is.
A great
like,
dude,
grew
man.
Up in institutional racism and was immediately like, you know what? It's fine. I'm past it all.
All right. Yeah. So,
can we talk real quick about how dope Thanos was, though?
So dope.
Because
back in Infinity Wars, everybody's going, yeah, but if he didn't have that gauntlet, he wouldn't be able to beat everybody. No.
No, he can beat everybody's ass without that.
We'll whoop everybody.
He beat
him
even worse somehow.
It was great.
Right? It was kind of. Seeing impressive.
Him like yeah, I just great. Like the way that Thanos. Yeah, he's the big bad, of course, but he's so articulate in the way he expresses why he's doing what he's doing. That and he's not his motive is not evil.
Yeah,
certainly not in his own mind. But
well, that's what all the
well,
I mean, all
no
the,
antagonist
that's what
ever
great
thinks that they're wrong.
Is, yeah. Well, of course not.
Yeah,
but
it was
not,
more articulated, and I think
it was very clearly.
It was something that you know, people could argue on a weird side of a debate could actually argue that would be
thing. You could argue it on the 405. Larry.
Yeah,
I mean, that's right.
Somebody should be the bringer of balance to the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his argument.
I agree. I mean,
it was a great thematic argument.
Yeah. If there was anything that I think
he thought he was the protagonist of Infinity War.
I think any of us who had qualms with Infinity War was that it was it felt a little CGI purple guy a little too much of the time, and I somehow did not ever feel that in this one. And
he was, for lack of a better word, humanized.
Yeah.
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 Especially at the beginning. His humanization goes all the way back to where they just show up on Garden Planet, and he's like, I did what I set out to do. Like, Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
It's finished.
I'm chilling.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's finished. You don't have no more stones.
Yeah.
You can't do anything.
So where do you think he went? Do you think maybe he was up near Syracuse? Up in
Yeah.
Because it was very pretty.
Yeah, it was pretty.
North Niagara.
Okay, so look. So let's get to the ultimate sacrifice. Let's get to...
Hold on. We can't get to the ultimate sacrifice.
Oh, come on, Jason.
No, because when Danvers flies in, you know it's her coming, and you know she's going to take that ship out.
Yep. Yeah.
It was great. I would have loved to have seen her just gone in it and just radiate and disintegrate the whole thing out.
I don't know, done something else useful in the fight?
Sure.
Right?
Well, she did some useful stuff in the fight.
Okay, if she can rip a ship apart, why can't she rip Thanos apart?
She could.
She probably didn't want to.
Right?
Thanos told her to smile and she didn't want to give him satisfaction.
But apparently Thanos has
kind of the same question. Why didn't Ant-Man just shrink down and like fly up his
urethra? Yeah, I get it.
And explode inside of him?
We all had the same thought at one point or another.
Come on, man.
It's not inner space. Devin, we tried that with Dennis Quaid. It didn't work.
Because then it would have been a two-hour movie.
Talk about Pym particles.
I don't know. That might have been the quorum room.
Yeah.
Might have got stuck in there for another 5 hours.
Man. That is one online theory I'm glad had absolutely no credibility.
The moment when the female heroes saddled up.
Oh, the A-Force?
Yes. Yeah. I loved that moment.
Yeah.
I was okay with it. I really enjoyed it. I was a little weird seeing Pepper in a suit. It was a little weird.
Yeah, it was strange.
I was like, what you been practicing?
You've been training at all?
Right. Well, yeah, don't you remember when they're out at the farm, Tony finds his daughter playing with the helmet.
The helmet.
And he goes, "That's okay. Mommy never wears anything I make for her."
Right.
Yeah, so but you know, and it does,
how many
it is
suits
a
has he made for her?
Is a reference also to what's happened in an Iron Man in the books, I think, from a couple years ago.
Sure. Rescue. Yeah.
But I don't buy Gwyneth as a superhero.
I didn't either. I didn't need to buy her as a superhero. I was happy to see her in that moment.
Well, I didn't.
It's also, considering his tech, it's probably just kind of put it in autopilot because, you know those lady drivers.
That's the thing. All three of them got in the suit and were just like...
my Mini Cooper.
We're just like, all right, now we'll do it.
All right. Can we get to Tony?
Wait, can I say one more thing about girl power?
I want to kill him.
I wanted to like that moment so much. I wanted to. And
is this the one that you referenced earlier?
Yeah. And if they had stopped at like the first three women that showed up to take it and like give her support, I would have been all about it. But to have all like 11 female superheroes like roll in, it just felt so schmaltzy and so.
It was
Disney.
Like,
this is the problem. They tend to do this. They overdo it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was super.
They lay it on so thick that you're like, God damn it. Who let the feminist in the door?
It was a little too on point.
Like, I wanted it. Like, when it first started, I was like, yes, here we go.
It was a powerful moment. But
it got a huge reaction in the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Were they all groans?
No, because the sister that was behind me was like, yes, girl, get them. And she was in.
All the women and a lot of the guys were really into it.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, look, that's that fan service element of
this was
highly calculated to get a reaction. It lasted literally seconds, and then it shouldn't matter, but it just stuck with me as such a calculated studio moment because you're a sexist
and you're a terrible
misogynist
man.
Monster.
It's not anywhere near as bad as the vegan theme in the last Star Wars movie. Let's just put it that way. God, I kind of want to pretend that never happened.
But he can't have been vegan. Women, he was drinking blue milk.
But for all of the women out there listening, McGann is spelled M-C.
It's spelled M-Y-S-O-G-I-N.
Okay, so Tony Stark grabs the gauntlet and does the thing. All right, so the end.
But does he grab...
No, he doesn't grab the gauntlet. He grabs the stones and puts it into his own...
Yes, because it was his tech, and he can nanotech it over to his helmet.
Well, there's a big switcheroo, and this is the kind of... A little bit of a reference back to Infinity Wars
and practical magic.
And the beginning of the movie.
Now you see me. That's when they were attempting
to yank the gauntlet off his hand, had it close, and then that was thwarted by Star-Lord.
Right.
Star-Lord.
And this time, attempting once again to try and supposedly get the gauntlet off the fist.
Right.
And he thinks he has, and of course, we're all going... You ain't got the stones, buddy, because the way they've got it shot, your back of your hand is away from the camera, and you're going to snap it. Nothing's going to happen. And
that's
exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty satisfying moment.
Yeah, it was super satisfying.
Yeah, it was definitely reference back to the beginning of the
movie. I'm inevitable. I'm Iron Man.
Yes!
Yeah.
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 So,
Avengers.
Tony does his thing.
Yeah.
I'm literally getting emotional just kind of mentioning that. It's weird.
I watched Kevin Smith's podcast today, and he teared up like four times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, look, Iron Man 1 started this whole story off.
Right. Yeah.
Iron Man has also, in the first Avengers, attempted to make an ultimate sacrifice that he was willing to make and survived that.
Right.
Yeah. So we've seen that in him. And as a plot point and as a storyline point, it works, right? I mean, yes, anybody?
I wasn't surprised. Right. I mean, there had to be real stakes.
Yeah.
And
there did.
Sad to say, Black Widow was not real stakes.
No. As soon as Doctor Strange did this and held up his finger and was like, this is your one chance, how that's going to end.
Right.
Because, I mean, he said to Tony, if I tell you how it ends, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because even though Tony probably would have still done it, there was that chance that he wouldn't be willing to sacrifice himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So. And the conjecture, I mean, in my mind, I felt like between Tony and Cap, those were the two that someone was going to make the sacrifice.
Yep.
Yes. I thought they were both were.
Yeah, I didn't think both.
Too. I thought they were both going to get
killed. Yeah, I didn't think Chris Evans was going to die. I don't know why. I just...
Well, Chris Evans is the actor, so he's probably going to be around for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess that's probably the thing.
Steve Rogers, on the other hand.
Also, Robert Downey Jr. is still alive. I just want to mention this.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Movies are strange.
Yeah, I know. Chris has a little trouble separating.
I have a feeling RDJ is going to tap out. I think he might retire, like completely after this.
From acting?
Well, doesn't he have a contract for two more movies?
Probably.
I think this was it.
Well, yeah, because he'll be in this. The Spider-Man is going to be a prequel to
Homecoming. No, Homecoming's not.
Far from Home. Isn't that supposed to be a prequel?
No, it's after.
No, it's after.
Yeah, because
bad news.
Zendaya's the love interest.
Yeah, right. Peter Parker gets to recover from all that fighting with a trip to Europe.
Yep.
It's
to meet his favorite stunt coordinator, Mysterio.
It's a gap. He's taking a gap year.
All right. So when we lose Tony, and also just the satisfying moment of seeing this evaporation of Thanos.
Oh, yeah.
Which couldn't have been any other way.
We skipped one, really. Like that moment where everyone shows up and the portals open up.
Oh, my God. That moment.
We didn't really talk about it. Kind of danced over it.
It was.
I mean, goosebumps on your feet. Oh, yeah. Just come on, y'all. God. Let's kick some ass. Let's go.
All of those portals opening as great. A wall. It was just so epic. Yeah. Goosebumps. And I kind of teared up a little.
Absolutely.
Honest.
Yeah. That pullback shot where you see everybody. It was great.
Well, we knew we were going to see all these people. We just didn't know how and when.
Right. Yep.
And they couldn't have pulled that off, any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect. It was a pretty perfect moment.
It was awesome.
So our tag scene, if you can call it that, is our little thing with Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I see getting picked on the most in whatever criticism there is. And I will say this. At the time, I thought it was sweet. I didn't think it was the ending.
Yeah.
I think the complete quivery lip trying to keep myself from not looking like just a complete baby in the theater was the long pull through the group at the funeral.
Oh, yes.
And partly it was kind of that same feeling I had when I saw Force Awakens for the first time, which is I'm seeing all these people again at this moment. And it's strange how invested I am in all of these characters.
They've been part of our lives for 10 years.
Yeah. I wanted to be so invested in that funeral scene, and what took me out of it was so patently obvious to me who was really in that shot and who had been CGI'd in. Like Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch was standing ramrod still, never blinked. It was like he was a photograph that had been superimposed, and there were a couple other people that you could just tell were not there for the shot and had just been photoshopped in, and it pulled me right out of it.
I did not feel that at all.
Who pulled me out was the kid from Iron Man 3.
That was so... I'm tearing up and I'm watching, and who's
that
kid?
Who's that kid?
And then I realized who it was. I was like, why is he there?
Yeah.
Somebody's crashing the party.
Like, how would anybody even know who that kid was?
Right. Like, it was so. But are they setting up the Young Avengers?
Well, they kind of have already with young Hawkeye and with Ant-Man's daughter, Cassie.
Yeah, right. Because she's, I mean, she's expressed wanting to do that for
Well, that's
for
West Coast Avengers,
now.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to Captain America. And just real quick, just to recap, is that he is...
He's old.
He's been sent back to what was the point of him going?
He was back to put all the stones back.
Put back all the stones
at the exact time.
And then he was gonna zip right back, and he didn't zip right back. And then
just not to our time.
There he is sitting as an older man. And what we learn is that in order for him to go back and relive his life in a completely different way, apparently, unless he was. I don't know. This is where they break their own rules about time travel, basically.
Yeah.
Or do they? I mean, because here's my thought. Is this the way, like they do in the comic books, to basically reboot their universe? That they have, this is the end of that MCU,
and
this is
a new one.
The new MCU with, I guess, the repercussions of whatever changes were made in that time travel. So... First of all, one, he's given, Cap gave the shield to Sam.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Which was an exciting decision for me because I really wanted to know. I really wanted to know which way it was going to go.
Oh, it happens in the comic book.
Right, but Bucky could have been Bucky had the shield before Sam did in the comic book.
Right.
So I really wasn't sure which way it was going to go.
And I thought it was going to be Bucky because it seemed like they had been setting him up to do that. So
yeah, it was kind of interesting.
Well, that might happen in their Disney Plus adventures.
I cannot wait for
that one. I'm excited about
watching those two in a road trip, just driving across country, and they'll end every episode with one of them going, I hate you. And it'll be classic every time.
It's gonna be great.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Hire me,
Disney.
And no end credit scenes. Yeah, I don't know if you guys sat through it.
Just
the hammer.
The hammer on the,
at the end.
And that was Tony in the cave.
Yep.
Making the first Iron Man suit.
Right. Yeah. So...
I think that was more an honoring thing.
It was nice. It was a very satisfying ring.
Easter egg.
Let's go around the room real quick, and we've hit on so many things, and we talked about I think the scenes that we liked and the nitpicking. So I don't think we necessarily need to go back and review Endgame. But now that we've all seen it and have a little perspective, I frankly need to see it again. Just to really kind of put it in my ranking.
Yeah.
But let's do the where do we stand now that we've all because we've all seen all 22 movies
23
22 are we counting
I'll count the Hulk.
Yeah,
we gotta count.
Yeah, we kind of do.
All right. Approximate two dozen. Do you have a ranking, JK?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Emily.
I haven't ranked.
Do you have a favorite, JK? I'll tell you right. Let me start. I'll start.
Winter Soldier still.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier. Right now, I can tell you, I go Civil War and Black Panther, virtual tie. So I'll make them one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity War 3. And I'm still trying to figure out. I'm holding off on where Endgame is going to be in that.
Yeah.
And I can't fill out the rest of the five yet. But favorite, JK?
I mean,
you were pretty moved by Black Panther.
Yeah, I mean, Winter Soldier is, as a film, Winter Soldier to me is the best overall film that they put together.
Really?
Black Panther for me was the overall best introduction of a world we've never seen.
Right. Yep.
On this earth, I went, oh yeah, that's and obviously, like, there's going to be reasons why I like that movie. But they did a great job. Costume design, the language was great.
Yeah.
No, but I really enjoyed those two movies. I loved the first Avengers.
Yep.
I loved Civil War. I thoroughly enjoyed Civil War. I like Infinity War, Endgame, and then Age of Ultron after that.
I have to mention, maybe in my five, I would go back to original Iron Man 1. Simply because it showed me they can do these right. That it was the first glimmer of, this is a superhero of the comic books that I cared about, that I wanted to see the stories done, that I've been waiting for, that were not done right up until that point at all, and it was like they get it. Emily, you got
I'm gonna go rogue here.
Yeah,
I love Ant-Man.
What?
Okay. Emily, okay. Just edit Emily out of the whole thing.
Whatever, it's not I like the quirky, bizarre humor in it. I really enjoyed the writing of it.
It was a sitcom. I mean, it was a comedy.
It was a comedy. And I liked the departure from how serious the films had gotten.
No, it was
how
a big
dark
relief.
They had gotten.
It was a big relief when it came out at the time.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, that whole Baskin Robbins thing is flipping hilarious.
It's great writing.
Oh my God, it's fantastic writing. Every time I drive by a Baskin Robbins, I'm like, Baskin Robbins always finds out. Baskin Robbins don't play. Every single time.
My beef with Ant-Man will always be that Marvel fired Edgar Wright.
I would have loved to have seen what that would have been.
Me too. I think that would have made it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have taken it to a different level.
McGann.
For sure.
Civil War is in my number one. A movie that I can't believe no one has said yet. Spider-Man Homecoming is probably
so
my
good.
Number two. I also loved Winter Soldier. I loved Ragnarok. I had so much fun with it. It was stupid, but it was so fun.
No, it was stupid funny. Like it was. Yeah.
Guardians
like,
one
how
was great.
Guardians and Guardians. Like
Guardians one was great.
Yeah. Guardians. Oh my God.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing is when you say the universe had a rank, it's very difficult to rank because you've got arms that kind of connect to the body of it.
Right.
And there's body films and there's limb films.
It just speaks to how exceptional they have been in keeping these things consistent, even when they're that different. Even for a movie like Ant-Man, which was kind of such a departure, even though it's still part of the whole fabric of it, that it still satisfied in a completely different way than the other ones and still fit in the overall.
I'm going to go with Civil War also and Winter Soldier as well. I will agree that I think Ant-Man was the right... Both of them were the right movies at the right time in the series. When you need
Homecoming as well as just a standalone or origin story. Semi-origin story.
Black Panther, I think, is highly up there.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah, Black Panther should have been in mine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And
well, there's a lot of ties.
Well, you're sexist and racist. We forgot.
I forgot. Oh, gosh.
and I got to agree with you on the original Iron Man just because for the same reason that we saw that they could do it seriously and do it well.
Yeah, they could do this.
Marvel hadn't, with the exception of Spider-Man with the Sam Raimi series and stuff like that, Marvel hadn't really cast their lot too well in film.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
X-Men First Class was the only one they did right.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, the first X-Men was okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay. Yeah.
But we hadn't seen them really...
Tie together
a whole
saga.
Universe. Yeah. And I mean, who knew, you know, like, again, I'll go back to the end credit scene of Iron Man when Nick Fury shows up. I want to talk about the Avengers Initiative, and I just lost my shit.
Yeah, really
and you're like, oh my God.
Because that to me is the most, possibly one of the most pivotal moments of movies in all of cinema in the last 15 years.
Well, look, that goes to kind of one of my final thoughts here because I do want to wrap up before we go. But what's remarkable about what they've done. It is a remarkable achievement in storytelling, but also just in movie history.
Mikey disagrees.
No, I think he's getting all choked up by my thoughts. I'm older than everybody in the room, but for all of us, especially those first three Star Wars movies, four, five, and six.
Haven't had that same feeling since then.
That was a cultural shift in so many things and continued for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this chapter of Marvel movies equate with that for this generation?
Oh, absolutely. It does.
And they will stand the test of time, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
My wife asked me, because my wife's a millennial, and she had asked me, I don't get why you guys are so crazy about Star Wars. I was like, trust me, when you get done watching Endgame, you're going to understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And she's sitting next to me just crying and laughing. Yeah. And I was like,
do you get it now?
You get it now? I said, this is what Star Wars was for my generation. Yeah. It shifted everything and it told stories in ways that we'd never seen before. And they just nailed it for this generation.
Yep. I literally watched those over and over and over again on my VHSs until I wore them out.
Right. Absolutely.
And these will be the movies that, in my case, my grown child will be showing his kids one day. I'll watch them with grandkids and I'll have that memory. Yeah. And I think they'll hold up in the same way that we can watch Star Wars from 1977, even with the improvements of George
Miller. Oh, my God, George, stop.
Maybe now that Disney...
What a bunch of nerds we are.
Maybe now that Disney owns them, they can re-release the old...
They'll just remake them.
I think he destroyed the prints.
Yeah.
So what can't... What's next? Are we all still looking forward to the next round?
I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready
Jump
for...
Because everybody's been predicting fatigue for at least 5 or 6 years. And at least with the Marvels, with the Marvel chapters, we never got tired of it. And if anything, we just couldn't wait for the next one. I mean, we're only 6 weeks away from Far From Home, and I can't wait.
I'm honestly ready for a little time off. I don't need 5 years. I don't need 3 years necessarily, but let's go a season. A half a year or a year, or maybe next Christmas for the next big tentpole picture to start the next story.
And I'm also okay with trying to tell smaller stories, like they did attempt to do with the street level heroes, which to a certain degree of success. I enjoyed the Daredevil series.
I did too.
I loved Jessica Jones.
Yeah. I think we kind of touched on it there. If they can tell smaller stories on some of these other streaming services and expand their universe that way.
Oh, it's going to be all Disney Plus.
Yeah, all Disney Plus.
But I think that's going to work because they figured out how to do it with Luke Cage and Daredevil, and they figured out what to do, what not to do.
And then do the, like Mikey says, do the occasional big tentpole movie as opposed to cranking those out every few months, because I think they realize they've got something here that's pretty precious, and let that sit for a while. And if you're going to reboot things, do it in a way where we can see the story told differently, and know more about those characters and learn more about them in a different way of storytelling.
Also, keep in mind,
and also give Jason Kelly and Chris McGann a job.
Some of them. But keep in mind, that they now have the X-Men.
Yep.
And the X-Men were actually the bigger titles in the comic books. Yep.
It gives them every excuse to completely reboot that. Which, by the way, I grew up loving that X-Men, the Chris Claremont years. If they get a chance to do those over and do those right, I am in.
They may merge them into the same universe.
That would be awesome.
And that would be a great next phase.
So when you start talking about the Beyonder and Adam and those storylines.
Well, and that's the England storyline. That's Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock's already, the seed's planted. He's coming.
End of Guardians 1,
two,
right?
Guardians 2.
He's the only dangling thread not wrapped up from end credit scenes.
Yes.
That introduction of Adam Warlock. Oh. And I was waiting for him to be a surprise in this movie.
As was I. He's
going to show up in Guardians 3.
I'm sure he will.
I was glad you guys were here, because I was thinking, did we already have Adam? See what happened to Adam? But
He's going to show up in Guardians 3.
He's got to show up in Guardians 3. Yeah. If he doesn't, I will just be like...
Well, I think that's why Thor's with them. He's going to be the main storyline of Guardians 3, and only Thor's probably going to be able to handle him in some way.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they wouldn't be able to do it by themselves.
That's true.
And I think...
What's Thor going to do? Eat him? Because he's fat.
I really loved that they didn't... When he brought the lightning down and put his suit back on. Yeah. I really love that they didn't make him thin again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They
left
him fat.
Fat Thor was my favorite Thor.
Fat Thor was my favorite Thor.
Yeah. Beer Billy Thor.
And
then, oh my God.
I'd watch a sitcom, Fat Thor.
Oh my God.
Mary Alice, grab that microphone right there next to Mikey Ambers and tell us in your own inimitable fashion, Mary Alice, how old are you?
I'm 11.
And you saw Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
And your thoughts... Please, as an 11-year-old experiencing this whole Marvel universe, please.
This whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, things that pop up when people say Marvel Cinematic Universe are Thor going, the scene where Thor's looking at the metal guy in the first Thor movie. Oh my God, I can't remember this. And then, for some reason, the second thing that pops in my mind is when Captain America looks down and goes, that's America's bleep.
Ass.
America's ass.
You can spell it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I know it's woke. I'm not going to say it right now, though.
Okay, good.
What really is the coolest thing is that this universe has... hoping that the kids do make a new Avengers. Because Spider-Man's definitely going to be in that because... He's only a teenager. And he's actually a real teen in real life.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good insight.
Yeah.
Mary Ellis.
And then he's British, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
He's actually British.
What are you talking about? doesn't know what she's talking about.
And fool's Australian.
And then I think what else happens is that the Night King defeats Thanos.
Yep. Yes.
Stop it!
And Iron Man gets the Iron Throne because the Stark has to win.
Stark must win.
JK, if you want people to find you, where can they find you?
J. Kelly, JKELLEY72 on all social media platforms.
All right. Emily Doyle, do you want people to find you?
No, don't find
all
me,
right,
people.
Please. But Mary Ellis wants to find her. Chris McGann, how about you?
The McGann on all social media platforms. THEMCGAHAN.
That's right. And don't forget all the sexist, racist issues that come up.
Send them my way. Send your thoughts about sexism and racism my way.
Mikey Ambers.
On Twitter, it is Blind Reviews, where I review movies weekly that I refuse to see.
Which are delightful, generally.
Thank you.
And by the way, you nail it, I think, every time.
I stand by them. Yeah. And then on the Instagram, I am mislaid_manholes.
Not to be confused with mislaid_manholes.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Jason Kelly, anything we can see you on in the near future?
I'm actually doing the Homeward LA fundraiser for the Midnight Mission this Wednesday down at the Art Share LA at 7:30.
Excellent.
And if you can't attend, go online to homewardla.org and please make a donation. All proceeds go to the Midnight Mission down on Skid Row to help out the homeless.
Look at that. Right. Jason Kelly doing nice things for nice people. Chris, you want to tout your Geico commercial or...
No, actually, I don't think I can follow that with anything sexist or racist.
All right. Shall we gather again in just a short amount of time and talk a little Spider-Man Far Away?
Spider-Man
Far Away. Are we talking Detective Pikachu?
Home? No, we're not talking Detective Pikachu. Oh.
What else is next?
Oh, come on.
What is next?
Spider-Man.
Pikachu.
Are we doing Star Wars at the end of the year as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? All right, everybody. Thank you again. And
King the Conqueror.
Let's do this again next week after we've seen it a second time and see if we change our mind about it. Get a monkey, everybody.
Get a monkey.
Get a monkey!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.